Yuko Moriguchi stands before her middle school class on her final day, delivering what appears to be a routine farewell speech. Instead, she calmly reveals a devastating truth. Her 4-year-old daughter Manami's death wasn't an accident. It was murder committed by 2 students sitting in that very classroom. Though she refers to them only as Student A and Student B, her descriptions make their identities unmistakable. The classroom falls silent as Moriguchi methodically deconstructs the crime. 13-year-old Shuya Watanabe, a scientific prodigy desperate for recognition, created a modified coin purse that delivered an electric shock. His accomplice, Naoki, a lonely, insecure boy seeking acceptance, helped lure little Manami to the pool with the promise of a cute, snuggly bunny pouch. When the unconscious child was pushed into the pool, what could have been survival became murder. But Moriguchi won't report them to the police, not out of mercy, but because she doesn't trust the juvenile justice system. Instead, she announces her own form of justice. She claims to have contaminated their milk with blood from Manami's HIV-positive father. With clinical detachment, she suggests they get tested in a few months, leaving them to contemplate their mortality just as her daughter's was stolen from her. What makes this opening so chilling isn't just the crime itself, but the calculated precision of Moriguchi's response, a revenge plot that will spiral beyond anyone's control. After spring break, Class 2B descends into chaos under Werther, the ineffectual replacement teacher. The social hierarchy shifts violently as Shuya becomes the target of brutal harassment. Classmates throw milk at him, write murderer on his desk, and physically attack him. Meanwhile, Naoki has completely withdrawn, refusing to leave his bedroom. Mizuho, the class representative, observes Shuya accepting the daily abuse with eerie composure, retreating into his work on a wristwatch-like lie detector. When approached, he tearfully confesses wanting someone to notice him, though his own device activates during this apparent remorse. When Werther and Mizuho visit Naoki's home, they find his mother wearing long sleeves in summer heat, likely hiding bruises, and Naoki completely unreachable. The next day, news breaks that Naoki has murdered his mother. In this transformed classroom, no one remains innocent, as Moriguchi's revenge bears its poisonous fruit. In his bedroom, Naoki spirals into paranoia, convinced his classmates would kill him for murdering their teacher's daughter. He isolates completely, his mother enabling this by claiming he has autonomic ataxia to the school. His fear transforms unexpectedly into a belief he's HIV positive and dying, triggering an emotional awakening. He cries often while intensely experiencing life's simple pleasures. I savored each moment knowing they might be my last. This serenity breaks when his new teacher and Mizuho begin weekly visits, whom Naoki perceives as Moriguchi's spies. His paranoia peaks when he overhears his mother mentioning Moriguchi. He throws a dictionary at her in terror. Learning that Shuya has been attending school pushes Naoki to confess everything to his mother. Rather than accepting him, she suggests he acted from fear, refusing to acknowledge his true motive of proving superiority over Shuya. Finally, his mother approaches with a kitchen knife, suggesting they go see Grandma and Grandpa together. When she apologizes for failing him, Naoki snaps. The word failure, the same insult from Shuya, triggers a rage that ends with her mother's blood pooling beneath her head. Behind Shuya's meek exterior lurks a calculating mind devoid of empathy. He views murder clinically as the elimination of one entity for another's benefit, like a lion killing a gazelle. This detachment stems from his upbringing by a mother he idolizes, a brilliant engineer who abandoned her career after marrying his unremarkable father. Shuya deliberately designed the shock-delivering coin purse and manipulated Naoki into targeting Moriguchi's daughter, coldly walking away when the shock only rendered her unconscious. After Moriguchi's revenge announcement, Shuya endures his classmates' torment, secretly elated about potentially having AIDS, believing this would bring his mother back. Months later, he discovers he's HIV negative. Moriguchi never contaminated the milk. This revelation redirects his pathology. When his girlfriend Mizuki mentions her previous interest in Naoki, Shuya strangles her and hides her body in the laboratory refrigerator. His final plan involves planting a timed bomb at school. Days before this planned massacre, he visits his mother, discovering she has remarried and is pregnant, his fantasy shattered as she simply moved on. In the final confrontation, Moriguchi unveils her elaborate revenge plan. The psychological torture was merely the beginning. Her husband had actually replaced the contaminated milk cartons out of ethical concerns. "Did you really think I would give up so easily?" she asks Shuya. "That I would entrust my daughter's justice to the juvenile court system that would protect you?" Moriguchi reveals how she orchestrated events after leaving, manipulating Werther to torment Naoki, and monitoring Shuya's online activities to identify his weakness, his desperate need for maternal validation. Her most devastating revelation, she relocated his school bomb to his mother's laboratory, ensuring Shuya would trigger the explosion that would kill the mother he both worshipped and resented. "I've given you exactly what you wanted, the perfect opportunity to eliminate the person who has caused you the most pain." As police sirens approach, Moriguchi declares this her final vengeance and walks away, leaving Shuya to face the impossible choice she engineered. Moriguchi's revenge devastates lives beyond her targets. Naoki's sister Kiyomi watches her family disintegrate after her brother kills their mother. Through her mother's diary, Kiyomi learns she initially enabled Naoki's withdrawal before attempting murder-suicide. She questions if her father missed warning signs through willful blindness or depression. The tragedy fractures the family. Her sister miscarries from stress, reporters harass them, and Naoki remains silent. In a letter to Moriguchi, Mizuho confesses her obsession with Naoki and how she manipulated both Shuya and their teacher. She admits suggesting Werther's visits provoked Naoki and threatens to poison Werther if he returns. Her letter reveals how Moriguchi's actions have normalized revenge among students. Even well-meaning Werther becomes collateral damage. When Mizuho tricks him into wearing Shuya's lie detector, his self-serving motives are exposed. He sought recognition rather than acting from genuine concern. This humiliation destroys his career and self-image. Confessions disturbs readers by revealing how vengeance-driven justice can become as toxic as the original crime. Moriguchi's revenge spreads like contagion, destroying innocent lives and perpetuating violent cycles. The novel poses difficult questions. When systems fail, juvenile justice that would protect murderers, schools missing warning signs, unstable families, is personal vengeance justified? A grieving mother's quest transforms her into something potentially as monstrous as those she punishes. We ultimately question who the true villain is, damaged children who killed, or the adult who orchestrated their psychological destruction. Most chilling is how Moriguchi's revenge becomes a template others follow, exemplified by Mizuho contemplating poisoning her teacher. The novel's profound challenge is whether we can truly know another's heart. Each narrator reveals motivations invisible to others, leaving absolute truth elusive and justice questionable when every confession tells a different story.